All right, everyone, we have a live mic, so as a reminder, any shuffling or talking that you do will be picked up, okay?
Okay, good morning. Welcome to this meeting of the Orange County Housing and Community Development Commission for Thursday, August 24th, 2023. Would you please stand and join me in honoring the flag of our great nation? Place your right hand over your heart.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. We'll now proceed to the agenda for this morning's meeting. The agenda contains a brief, general description of each item to be considered. Except as otherwise provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on today's agenda. Public comment rights are not unlimited and do not include the right to defame or slander, the use of profanity that causes a disturbance or disruption in the proceeding and is truly objectionable is not allowed, and it may cause us to have to take a recess from the meeting. Public comments must be within the subject matter jurisdiction of this commission. As such, attacks on persons who are not subject to the jurisdiction of the commission will not be heard. Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Yes, good morning. Ms. Ann Nguyen is an excused absence today. Ms. Tracy Law is an excused absence today. Mr. Mike Alvarez?
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Stephanie Odo is an excused absence today. Mr. James Mai?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Wayne Carvalho?
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Carla Wilkerson?
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Helen Smith-Gardner is an excused absence for today. Mr. Mike Frost?
Present.
Thank you. Ms. Cecilia Hupp?
Here.
Thank you. Madam Chair, we have quorum, and I'd like to announce some housekeeping items before we begin. If you wish to comment on a specific agenda item in person, please complete a speaker request form identifying the item number, your name, and deposit the completed form in the box that's located right next to the clerk. To speak on a matter not appearing in the agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the HNCD Commission, you may do so by during public comment items at the end of the meeting. Speaker request forms must be deposited prior to the beginning of the consent calendar, the reading of the individual agenda items, the opening of the public hearing, and or the beginning of the public comment item. When your name is called, please come to the podium and begin your comments by stating your name or pseudonym for the record. Members of the public desiring to speak should address all remarks and questions to the commission. Speakers may address the commission on up to three occasions with 3 minutes allotted for the speaker per occasion.
Thank you. Also, Helen Smith-Gardner is out on medical excused absence, and I'd like to ask my colleagues and staff to please keep her in your prayers for a speedy recovery. Thank you. Now we'll move on to approval of the minutes. We're going to approve the summary of minutes of the meeting held on June 22nd of 2023. For this item, Madam Clerk, have you received any public comments?
No requests for comments have been received for item number 5, approval of the minutes.
Okay, thank you. I would now entertain a motion to move agenda item number 5.
I move to approve the agenda if there are no corrections by the commission.
I'll second.
Thank you. Motion was made by Commission Member Mike Alvarez, seconded by Commission Member Carla Wilkerson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay.
Cecilia, I'll abstain.
Okay. Please note that. And there are no presentations or introductions, so we'll move on to item number 7, which is public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the HNCD Commission regarding any items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Commission, provided that no action shall be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Speakers will have 3 minutes to address the Commission, and the clerk will run the timer and announce when your time has expired.
Madam Chair, we do have one request to speak for item number 7 of public comments.
Okay, thank you.
And then that's Ms. Denora Echevarria.
Oh, thank
seven time now?
Yes.
Well, thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Dina Ora Echavarria. Thanks to America, they brought us from Cuba, 1969. America was great. The culture was mixed, and I didn't have to suffer. As some other ethnicity, everybody know who they are, running every government agency besides Los Angeles and Orange County, which my identity, Social Security, has been stolen. I've been called from Mexico, telling me that my Social Security is being used in Mexico. This never happened growing up in this country as a kid because the culture was mixed. When the culture is mixed, I don't have to complain to government. Cuba, Miami, and Washington was happening in Orange County. Worked for 40 years, paid taxes when I was losing my place more than 20 years. They told me to reach to Julia Bidwell in 2017. I love her because I'm a great human being, but she let me down. Also Anaheim, and I lost my place to go home. I'm from friends to friend. I'm not a drug addict, neither drink or smoke. My parents were pastors, Pentecostal, and they taught us how to love everything. And that's who I am. But I've been sick because I've been reaching out to Julia to please retrieve a ball show that I want under my social in Anaheim, because I was told there's a lot of dishonesty and corruption. I'm passing what I've been told. But I still love everybody. I set up an appointment with all the board supervisors, so they let me down. Hoping that today somebody said, look, when the meeting is over, we will talk and see how can we help you. Because government already told me I qualify for subsidy, whether it's a townhouse or a condominium. They told me the city that I feel safe, which is Joe Belinda. I grew up in 1969. And we were being bused to Orange High, where American Tatas at its beginning. The manager there wants me back, but he tells me Orange County needs to help you because the Social Security, they don't give you enough. So I'm hoping that somebody assists me so I could close a case in federal court. I'm not complaining, neither suing anybody. But I'm protected, I'm the federal statute because I was brought here as a refugee. It's not my fault if the federal have fallen apart. And I'm hoping you guys, American, who understand that this cannot happen when you're putting other Hispanics that don't seem to care for Hispanics from Cuba. This was not like that before. So I'm hoping you hear me because they tell me go to Miami, the powerful federal Cubans in Miami, Washington, D.C., and California do not like what's happening in Orange County. So please help me so I could get my stuff out of the storage that's been there since 2018. It's not fair that I'm sleeping from friends to friends in the floor. This is not the person that I am. I need to have my own roof over my head to go home. Thank you, everyone. We love you,
thank
and I'm
you.
Hoping this is sooner than later.
Thank you. Okay.
Madam Chair, we have no additional requests to speak for item number 7, public comments.
Thank you very much. As to item 6, we did that. Okay, we have no consent calendar items. So we'll move on to discussion item number 1, and I'll have January Johnson present that item.
Hey, morning, everybody. I am very excited to present this item because oftentimes we get to present things that talk about new vouchers or helping small target populations, but today I get to announce the opening of the anticipated opening of the Orange County Housing Authority waiting list. We expect to open it in September, so I'm taking this opportunity to give you guys a brief rundown on what that process looks like and to see if you guys have any feedback on that process. I will note that the majority of our selection process and the way that we proceed is in our administrative plan and it's already been approved by the board, but we do want to make sure that we provide all the information that we have available to us to hear what you guys have to say about it. So for a little background, the last time we opened the waiting list was in 2012. At that time, we received about 50,000 applications, and we've been working on that 2012 waiting list since then. Right now, we have about 1,650 people left on the waiting list, and HUD does not want you to exhaust one waiting list before you have another one ready to go, because you don't want to have a gap in being able to serve your population. So we're planning on opening the waiting list in September to be able to have a list ready, so by the time that 1,600 are served, we can move right into the next list. You cannot serve both lists at the same time. You must exhaust the first one first, and then serve the second list. Right now, because we have received 50,000 applications, and it has taken 11 years to serve that many people, the housing authorities have had that challenge across the country. And so best practice has changed to accept every application that you can, but limit the number that you put on your waiting list. And so that's exactly what we did. When we updated our administrative plan, we put in there that we would be accepting only 12,000 applications from all the ones that we accept. We encourage everybody to apply, and we want to see as many applications as we can get, but by accepting or putting on the list 12,000 applications, it ensures that that list will only be about 4 years long, and we'll be able to serve the people who are in need at the time that they have been applying. Then we can open the list again, and again serve people who have the need at that immediate time, instead of serving people who may have had a need 10 years ago. So that is our first big change between 2012 and 2023, is the fact that we will be putting on our list 12,000. We get that 12,000 by a random selection. So it does not matter what time you turn in the application during the open period. It can be the very first minute that the application period is open to the very last minute that the application period is open. They all have the same weight. So the only thing that matters is your preference, where you sit, or what we've determined as preference. The first preference is live or work in the Orange County jurisdiction. Orange County jurisdiction is every city and unincorporated area in Orange County except for Santa Ana, Garden Grove, and Anaheim. And that's because Santa Ana, Anaheim, and Garden Grove all have their own housing authorities. So we serve every other jurisdiction within the county. Then you have sub-preferences. The next one, these are the same as they were in 2012, so there's no change. But the next preference would be veterans. Then the next preference encompasses all of these of equal weight. Is disabled, elderly, and working families. And the third preference is non-working families. So what we'll do is if we receive more than 12,000 applications, which odds are good that we will receive more than 12,000 applications based on history, we will randomly, they'll be placed in their preference, and then we'll be randomly selecting up to that 12,000 mark. This means if we get 12,000 veterans who live and work in our jurisdiction, we'll serve 12,000 veterans. Chances are we will not get 12,000 veterans based on what our historical applicants have been. Our veteran population had, from last waiting list opening, was only about 5% of the applications. So the vast majority are gonna fit that second preference, which are disabled, elderly, and working families. And that's the population that we will most likely serve with that 12,000. Applications can be submitted in multiple ways. We have a direct link. We'll have a QR code available, we'll have a direct link available that they can go online and submit their application directly through this link. They can mail in a paper application, they can email a paper application, and then for reasonable accommodation purposes, if somebody has challenges with those other three options, they can call us and we can do a telephone application, but that's in limited circumstances. We encourage everybody to do the online application, because when you do the online application, you immediately get a receipt for your submission, and so that you know your application's been accepted. If you do a paper application, we have to manually process it, and it can take several months for you to get something in the mail saying that we received your application and what the status is. In 2012, 89% of everybody who applied online. So between 2012 and now, we suspect that there's a lot more comfort with online, so we're hopeful that even a higher percentage will apply online. It will take some time after the application period closes for us to be able to certify that new waiting list. So it won't be immediate. So if you guys are speaking to anybody in your communities, they're not gonna know on the day after it closes whether or not they're gonna be one of those 12,000. We have to certify all the information that comes in. We have to verify that information. We reach out to people who have incomplete applications. We complete those applications. It'll take several months for us to do that. Our hope is that in the first quarter of 2024, we'll be able to have a certified waiting list. There's a lot more that goes into opening a waiting list, but I don't want to spend the entire meeting talking to you about what happens with the waiting list. It's more about the exciting part. We'll make sure that you guys have materials, and I think Julia's going to go over a little bit more, but we'll make sure you guys have materials to get the information out. But in the meantime, do you guys have any questions for me?
Before we start with questions, we did receive a public comment, a letter from an individual pointing out a failing in our little system here, because most of us electeds are used to being video recorded as well as audio. So I'm going to ask that you let me know who would like to speak, and I'll announce your name so that anyone listening to our recording will know exactly who's speaking. Thank you. Mike Alvarez?
Ms. Johnson, just curious, in terms of getting the word out and announcing that there's going to be a new waiting list, just, you know, in a real quick way, you know, the people that serve the homeless or the veterans or all them, word goes out to them. Is that what the county does?
Sure. So a little bit about the process for getting the word out. We will have a campaign materials, micro campaign materials, I think that was coined internally, so micro campaign materials, where there's flyers, press releases. Can't do any of this until we issue the public notice. Public notice is the first start. As soon as we issue the public notice, we can give you details about when that actual waiting list is open. So really, our hands are a little tied at that point. But once that public notice is issued, we'll have materials that will go out. We will have training for all of our partners. At this point, the list is about 150 people long. Any of you guys have anybody else that you think we should be reaching out to? We want to reach out to as many agencies and partner organizations as we possibly can from every far reach of the county. We want everybody to apply. I know we're only taking 12,000, but we want everybody to apply. And so, yes, we will be training our partner organizations on how to help applicants fill out that application. We'll be making sure we have a comprehensive list available online for people to know where to go, to have access to computers, to have access to language, if they needed applications in different language. We will be offering right off the bat the application in five languages, the county five languages, so that should help with English, Spanish, Vietnamese, Korean, and Chinese. When you actually do apply, it's available in all the languages that Google Translate does, which, you know, has some challenges, but it will at least cover some people who may not have access to somebody who can translate for them. And we will make sure that everybody knows how to fill out that application with form libraries. We'll also be holding application events so that we can help support people with filling those applications. And we'll be attending different events throughout that month to be able to get the word out.
Thank you.
Any other questions? James Mai?
This is James Mai. A question. So you're saying the time frame is September for the public notice, and then the material will be available shortly after that. So we're looking at end of September, October?
September.
September.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the anticipated public notice is in September. We will do all these campaign materials virtually immediately thereafter.
Okay.
We just have to wait until that publishes. As soon as that publishes, you guys will get everything.
Okay, now I'd like to recognize Michael Frost.
Oh, thank you. Michael Frost. January, thank you for the summary. I like your priorities on how to prioritize the waiting list. Would we ever take into consideration geographical location of the applicant? Is that not practical? Or talk through that.
Sure. So housing authorities are required by regulation to serve certain jurisdictions. So a county housing authority is required to serve no smaller size than a county, with the exception of the fact that there's those three other housing authorities, so we would remove those other two. However, even though we are responsible for serving the entire county, anybody can apply. So if you live in New York, you can still apply by regulation. We have a preference for the people who serve our jurisdiction that we've identified as the county size. Any smaller than that county, we are unable to provide geographical locations smaller than that, but it's all regulatory.
In January, if I may, it's all based on need. We can't separate out certain numbers by area because it's a choice program. You have the ability to apply, and we have to target need. And so we can't arbitrarily say that one area of the county will get so many vouchers versus another, because we have to allow the applicants to come in and we have to base it on that need.
Thank you for that clarification, Julia.
And one more, is it fair to say the constraint is always the number of vouchers, or is the constraint ever the number of units which are voucher eligible?
Well, I hate to say this, but it's neither. It's not the vouchers nor the number of units, it's actually funding. So our constraint is funding. We will always run out of funding before we run out of vouchers. And so, unfortunately, our constraint is funding.
Which creates the vouchers. Do we always have extra units which are voucher eligible than the vouchers themselves?
The way the program works is it is fair market. So they can take that voucher to any unit in the fair market. And so as long as there are units available in the fair market, then they can be served. And because the state of California has the income, you can't discriminate based on income. Somebody with a voucher has to be served. Well, they have to be given the same opportunity to be served dependent upon the qualifications of whatever the landlord has. So if they have credit score requirements or things like that, and the voucher holder doesn't meet those requirements, then of course they can choose not to serve them, but they can't not serve them just because they have a voucher in hand.
Oh, great, okay, I misunderstood, thank you.
Madam Chair, if I might follow up on that, Julie Bidwell, Director, Housing Community Development. In the Housing Choice Voucher Program, it's been a 90% success rate in 96% success rate in people finding housing with their voucher. Where we have a little bit less of a percentage in success rate is in special voucher programs with special populations that have maybe potential more barriers. They have more potential credit and other issues, because still a landlord can still be a landlord. They're not required to update, they have to follow fair housing law, but they don't necessarily have to say, I'll waive all security deposits. We can't require that of them. So we have special populations like homeless and other that have a lower success rate, but in our Housing Choice Voucher Program, which is, this is what we're opening up, the wait list, has had a 96% success rate of that person being issued a voucher and finding housing in the market to take that voucher and get housed.
Great. Carla Wilkinson?
Wolferson, sorry.
That's okay. There's never an occasion where you think you prioritize someone who's been on the waiting list a long time? It says that it's just randomized from the 12,000?
So we have to exhaust the existing waiting list. So those people are, I guess, in essence, prioritized, right? Because we'll be exhausting them, anybody who's been waiting, mm-hmm. before we start the new waiting list. But we would never place somebody who's, let's say, position 12,000 over somebody who's position 4. It is just a random selection, and it's the most fair and equitable way to serve those on the waiting list. If you do have immediate needs, like maybe you're experiencing homelessness or you're a person with disabilities, then we would encourage you to get the immediate housing opportunities, like through project-based vouchers or through the other targeted housing opportunities through the coordinated entry system.
Great. Wayne Carvalho?
Wayne Carvalho. Just adding on to that question, creating the waiting list, again, you went through your priorities here. Once that waiting list is created, how do you number 1 through 12,000 are all, like, say, the top 3,000 veterans? And then from that, so veterans are at the top of the list. Okay, within the 3,000 or whatever veterans, how does one get on top of that priority within that category?
Random. So
totally
it's random for what your placement is on the waiting list, and it's random within each preference. Okay. So everything is completely random. And again, that's to make sure that everything is fair and equitable. We don't want to place specific people in specific places. Randomizing the list is the most fair and equitable way to go. And it is also HUD's recommendation, and it is also the best practice that most housing authorities use.
Okay, do we have any other questions? No? Madam Clerk, do we have any public comments on this item?
Madam Chair, we do have one request to speak on discussion item number 1, and that is Ms. Denora E.
Chavadilla, it's my last name.
Thank you, everyone. I wanted to be able to ask questions. Bear with me because Spanish, hablo español para que vean que soy cubana. Then to American taught me how to speak English, and I also speak French. So I have to download from my brain, and I have been super stressed because we have this honesty. And if you go to Miami, a lot of people in Orange County, from those board of supervisors, Julia B. Well, January will look really bad. They're standing by. What happened is that my place of residence, more than 20 years, since I am protected under federal statute, anybody want to see history, I have it here. I was brought by the U.S. government July the 7th, 1969. Freedom House, Miami, Florida. I have it here. And what happened, I was told anything that happened in this country, in Miami, you could reach out to local government because you guys are protected under federal statute. So work paid taxes, but when my rent was going up to almost $2,000 that I could not afford, in 2017, I called Washington, D.C., HUD. And they told me, yes, you qualify, reach out to Orange County Housing Authority that was in 1770 North Broadway. Reach out with an appointment to Julia B. Well and Dillian Wright, which I did. From that point on, I've been in this country since 69. I've been discriminated by a lady by the name of Vera from Mexico. It broke my heart. Since that time, nobody had given me any appointment to see what kind of governmental program to assist me. So I was reaching out to Washington everywhere, coming back to Orange County Housing Authority in 1770, looking for Julia B. Well to have mercy on me, because I don't sleep in the street. I'm not a drug addict. I work and pay my taxes. They turned their back on me, and I was praying because both parents were Pastor Pentecostal. And finally, they told me to reach out to Anaheim Housing Authority. By then, I lost my place because Orange County never seemed to care, neither Anaheim. I lost my place, and I was now getting sick from my stomach. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. Drinking water, when I'm trying to eat, my food was coming up because the stress got into my digestion. That's got it in the bottom of my heart. And I was saying in Spanish, this is not the country that we grew up. These people will have problem if they go back to Miami now that I'm able to speak English and the whole world will pay attention to what's happening here. I was born in a communist country and they are dishonest, but I still love you. January, I still love you, because when I was reaching out to them, including January, real quick, I told her that Lockwood was in HUD and 34th Civic, Santa Ana on the 7th floor. So they cut me up and I had to explain it. So to be make a long story short, he told me to sign up with Anaheim, which I did in 2019. They called me 2 weeks later, I won the voucher, I have it here.
Thank you for your comments.
But if he generally speak a lot of time,
okay. I have to Madam Clerk, do we have any more public comments?
Madam Chair, at this moment we have no additional requests to speak on discussion item number one.
Okay. I would now entertain a motion to move agenda discussion item number one.
I'll second that.
Wayne. Okay, thank you. I have a motion from Wayne Carvalho and a second from James Mai. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, seeing none, motion carries. And we move on to public hearings. There are no public hearings, so we're going to go to reports from staff and or commission members, and we'll start with community development. Craig Fee, our manager.
Good morning, Craig Fee, community development. Got a few items to cover. Thank you. First one I covered on the June 22nd meeting, it was in process at that time. It's the cooperation agreements between the County of Orange and cities in Orange County. Basically, the cooperation agreement is an agreement between us and the cities of Orange County to participate in our urban county program. In order for us to move funds into those cities and approve their projects, they have to engage in a cooperation agreement every 3 years. The cooperation agreements were approved by the board on July 18th, and they're now at HUD for approval. Second subject I'd like to cover, which is underway, is the Consolidated Annual Performance and Evaluation Report, otherwise known as the CAPER. The CAPER is basically a report card on how we did this previous year compared to our annual plan. In our annual plan, we say if we get these CDBG, home, and ESG funds from the federal government, this is how we plan to use them. The CAPER says, this is how we use them. The CAPER basically says, okay, this is how you did. You said you're gonna do this, did you do it? Did you not do it? Why didn't you do it? Or did you do more than what you said you wanted to do? The third thing I would like to cover is the funding allocation policy and process for 24-25. The FAP, what's one of our acronyms, is basically the beginning of the funding year 24-25. What we do is we put together a document that recommends to the board, this is what we plan on using the funding for in our next annual action plan. The funding allocation policy and process includes participation and comments from public in all of our participating urban county areas, and it also goes to the city manager subcommittee for comment and approval before it goes to the board for approval. The funding allocation policy process is an internal county document. It's not HUD required, but we put that out there for the public and for you and for anybody else who wants to know, when we get this funding, this is what we plan on doing, and we did go through this participation process on what's important in each community. With that, any questions?
Do we have any questions? Okay. Seeing none, thank you very much. We'll move on to housing development, and it looks like Julia will be presenting that.
Hi, good morning. Julia Bidwell, Director of Housing Community Development. Michelle had a scheduling conflict, so I'll be giving the housing development report this morning. Since our last meeting, the project review and advisory panel met twice on July 13th. They concurred with staff recommendation to pass HB Oasis, located in the city of Huntington Beach, developed by National Core. It was concurred to be passed on underwriting to proceed to the Board of Supervisors for approval to commit $5.1 million and 62 project-based vouchers for the development. HB Oasis is a home key project. The PRAP also concurred with staff recommendation to pass a new home key for round three project, 1400 Bristol, or the Travel Lodge in the city of Costa Mesa, being developed by American Family Housing. It passed on threshold and underwriting review and proceed to the Board of Supervisors for commitment of $6.7 million and 48 project-based vouchers. Both developments are all permanent supportive housing units that are the funding and vouchers are being approved for. Additionally, the PRAP met on August 10th and they concurred with staff recommendation to pass the following projects on threshold review. 15081 Jackson in Midway City, unincorporated county, which is being proposed by American Family Housing. Also, the Placentia Baker Street project in Placentia, proposed by Mercy Housing California, and the Lincoln Avenue project in Buena Park, proposed by CNC Development. All of those passed on threshold review and will proceed to underwriting, and they come back to the PRAP for underwriting review at a later date. Right now, the future PRAP meeting date is September 14th at 1 p.m. Any questions on housing development update?
Do we have any questions from the commission? Seeing none, thank you, Julia. We'll move on to the Orange County Housing Authority update with January Johnson presenting.
Hello again. So the waiting list is really our biggest update. So I'm gonna touch on something else that's quite not as exciting, but still an update for the Housing Authority. We just recently, once the fiscal year ends, like Craig kind of mentioned, I like the word report card for CAPER. We have something very similar. It's our Section 8 Management Assessment Program.
we have to, on an annual basis, pretty much do a report card on how the Housing Authority's operations are, how we're serving the public. And so this happens every year, except, of course, it didn't happen during the COVID period. So this is the first time we're going to be submitting a CMAP for short, CMAP certification, since the fiscal year 18-19 period. So we just submitted it yesterday. There's three different types of grades that you could get. You can be a high performer, a standard performer, or a troubled performer. The Orange County Housing Authority has been a high performer for the last 16 years, and we anticipate being a high performer again this year. When we completed our report card, it looks like we will be a high performer. I say anticipated because ultimately HUD makes the final determination of what type of performance we did over the last year. But in our report card, it does look like we'll be a high performer, which is great news. And there's a score of 145 points. In order to be a high performer, you need to hit 90% of those points. And so we received 140 of the 145 points. They base it on a variable, a number of variables, like did we follow through with our annual reexaminations? Have we inspected the units appropriately? Things like that. And so we take all of our files and we do a sampling of all those files and we review those to see if we were performing adequately. And so I think it's good news, but I am hopeful that by the next time we meet, I'll be able to tell you that this is a firm high performing score and let you know what we get next time.
Great, thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the Executive Director Secretary's report. Julia?
Hi, good morning. Julia Bidwell, Executive Director, Orange County Housing Authority, Secretary to the Commission. My update this morning, January gave me some updates. She kept them out of hers so I could make them. OCHA received 75 new incremental vouchers to serve applicants currently on OCHA's waiting list, so that'll help us draw down that current waiting list even quicker. This is the fourth time OCHA's received vouchers to serve our waiting list since 2022. That's pretty remarkable because prior to the emergency housing voucher allocation in 2020, it had been 20 years since we had received any new voucher allocations like that. So hopefully that continues. Also, over the last few years, OCHA has been experiencing staffing shortages. However, since August 2022, we've hired 45 new staff. We have several more vacancies in the recruitment phase. It's important to us. Obviously, we're at a very critical juncture with opening of the waiting list. We want to make sure that we have those positions filled. Also, just as an update, I reported at our June meeting that the House Appropriations Committee approved a $22 billion or a 25% cut to the HUD spending bill, which looked fairly scary considering the Housing Choice Voucher and Housing Assistance Program. In July, the Senate proposed a bill, a more favorable proposal, that would result in full funding or nearly full funding to the Housing Choice Voucher Program. So we'll continue to keep you updated on those federal funding updates because it does apply to, as January mentioned, funding is actually the key factor in us being able to issue a voucher to individuals. So that's it for my executive director's report. Just a note on the waiting list, the materials such as the flyers, we'll be sending that to you as soon as that public notice is out. We encourage you, most of you are work in civic organizations or you work right within cities that are in OCHA's jurisdiction. We encourage you, most of the cities we will be giving flyers to already, but if you see other locations that you think a flyer could be useful or reach out to individual. If you think there are partner agencies that would be good for us to train to help people do applications, like January mentioned, we already have 150 partner agencies on our list, but we don't want to miss anybody that we might be useful to train up that can do outreach and application assistance, and especially for underserved, right, low income, populations, and we also want to, we're going to make everything available. The county has a language access policy, so all the written documents, things on our website are in five languages. We have three required languages for our HUD, but we have five languages for language access policy for the county, so we will have that as well. So I just encourage you to help us get the word out on the waiting list. Once we get that public notice out, we will let you know.
Julia, Cecilia Hupp, I have a question. Are you working currently with the Hope Center in Fullerton?
Is that, we will write it down.
That would be a really valuable resource.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have any questions? No?
Okay, Wayne Carvalho, just clarify, you're going to send us like with the email blast go out, you just forward it to us so we can forward it ourselves?
Yeah, we can send you the flyer,
yeah.
and then it'll just, it's good to go.
Great. Because there's probably a window, right? The application will have a start and an end date. So.
And it'll all be in that flyer.
Wonderful.
Great. Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Now we'll move on to item number 12, which is public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the commission regarding any off-agenda items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the HCD commission, provided that no action shall be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Speakers will have 3 minutes to address the commission, and the clerk will run the timer and announce when your time has expired. Madam Clerk, do we have any speakers?
Madam Chair, we do have one request to speak for item number 12, public comments, and that as noted on the list, it's Denora E.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. I just want to ask questions, please. Because first time government is going to assist me and my voucher was stolen. I was told to sign up with Anaheim Housing Authority because I was already in the waiting list in 2018. So Lockwood was in hard on 34 Civic Federal, 7th floor. And I met him very nice. He also gave me a pen, which I have for souvenir. He said, sign up again with Anaheim. They have it in Rockford Lottery. Only few people randomly is going to be selected, not 10,000, few people, like maybe 10 or 20. Only if your name come up, you will secure a housing with a voucher in any city in Orange County. I said to him, I'm already in the waiting list. He said, sign up again. I didn't have nothing to lose, I sign up. Thanks God, 2 weeks later, Nguyen called me and told me, congratulations, you won a voucher. You could secure housing in any city in Orange County. I said, thank you, Jesus. I never want anything. But now I will have a place to call home. She said, write down your confirmation number for your voucher, which I have. They let me down. My voucher was stolen by Nadia Price in Anaheim and Grace Stetter. I was told the both ladies are from Mexico, because I have to ask, because I'm also Latina from Cuba, and it's 20 Hispanic and they said, they told me, we are where you want your voucher, but we're giving it to somebody else. I said, how can this happen? I want it under my social security number. I told General Ray Johnson to please get Julia Bewell an appointment because I'm in need. She told me, don't say it was stolen, say it was misplaced. I said, when somebody tells me that they know I want it and they give it to somebody else, it was stolen. This is the reason why they forced me to go to Miami and bring it. Breaking news. Please, see, can they get me a voucher sooner than later so I could have a nice place like Heritage Crossing in Joba Linda. They want me back in there, but they want Julia Bewell to help me. They were not honest with me. They said they didn't have nothing to do with Anaheim. And then a city council told me the protocol is to call Orange County Housing Authority. This cannot continue happening in this wonderful country, the United States of America. They brought the best Latino, I happen to be one of them, from Havana, Cuba, to this great country that is falling apart. Thank you, Julia. Help me as soon as you can so I can close my case in federal court. And I'm not suing anybody. I want the voucher that I want. This is my confirmation number. Please help me. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to member comments. At this time, members of the HCD Commission may comment on agenda or non-agenda matters and ask questions of or give directions to staff, provided that no action shall be taken on non-agenda items unless authorized by law. Do we have any comments, questions? Wayne Carvalho?
Just following up on the bylaw changes and what happened through the agenda format, recall, as a few meetings back.
Yeah.
Update us as to when that might occur.
Julia Bidwell, Director of Housing Community Development. I apologize, that should have been in my executive directors. We're getting it to the Board of Supervisors, so we're working on an agenda staff report to do that. So it's in process, and those are the absenteeism changes and the order of business changes that you recommended.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyone else? James?
Yes, James Mai. I just wanted to address the staff and wanted to say thank you. I'm super excited about this, the voucher program going live in September. As you know, I have three nonprofits that I work with and own. So we serve the communities Westminster, Fountain Valley, Huntington Beach, and many people have reached out already saying that they're waiting for this list to open up and to get an opportunity beyond even a lottery system. So thank you for all your work and the update on that.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one, we're going to move on to adjourn. Just a reminder, our next meeting will be held in person on September 28th, 2023, here at the County Conference Center. So looking forward to seeing you all then, there, and thank you for coming.
And Jessica, I have one technical update. I believe your mileage claim forms are going to start being sent, are done online. So we're going to have the option of the mileage claims that I give you guys after each meeting, where you guys will be able to submit them electronically from the comfort of your own home. I will go ahead and email you guys instructions and how to set up your profiles.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Thank you all for attending.
Good job, Madam Chair.
Great. Good.